Music's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Barbara, thank you, honey. Thank you, Barbara. Oh, I just think there's nothing better than that, just to have yourself lifted like that, huh? Now this is the time when we were going to have someone kind of share their thoughts, and we had thought, well, we're going to have all message service tonight, and, you know, we thought a lot of different things, and it changed. It so happens I had another birthday surprise. I'm minding my own business, and my daughter decides that she's going to take me out for my birthday and go shopping. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. She made the plans for the 23rd, and I agreed with that. I thought, that's just fine, okay. Now then I call her, and I said, now you want me to meet you halfway? Because she lives in Escondido. You want me to meet you halfway? And she said, no, I have a surprise. I want to bring it by the house. Okay, that sounded good to me, huh? Not a surprise. And so, so here I am at home. And she comes in. She didn't have any surprise for me. Well, I wasn't surprised that she fibbed to me a little bit. She's been in my life for a long time. What's that say? I wouldn't blame that. I can handle that, can't I? Guess what? The door taps, and there's my Lauren, my granddaughter, her daughter. And she was letting me know that she's pregnant. Woo! She got to be a 27-year-old mommy, and her she's about 3 months pregnant, and her first baby, and it'll be Diana's first grandchild. It'll be my number 10th great-grandchild. How did that happen? 10 great-grandkids? Whoa. And then another tap on the door, and in comes my other daughter to surprise me, who lives in Tennessee. And now I thought, well, now this is just a bit much here, but I kind of liked it. I'm still kind of a little bit in shock because I certainly didn't expect it. I thought I was running shopping with my daughter. So it teaches you, kids, don't ever believe your children. They lie to you. Cindy Walker knew. She didn't tell me, did you, Cindy? No, she didn't. Liz and Crystal knew, and they didn't tell me either, did they? So you can't trust your friends either. I just want to let everybody know that. Guess what? You can't even trust yourself. Well, maybe I'm judging you by myself, but I sure can't trust me either. Damn it. So I changed. First of all, you know that song that we sing, God Use Me? The person that wrote it is here tonight. And it's not Spencer, he just walked in the door. But the person that wrote it is here tonight. And so I changed from having the all message service to having the person that wrote that God Used Me song. I asked her to come and share some of her thoughts with us tonight. I don't know her, but most of you do know her, I think. It's my second daughter, Andy Landis.
Such a build-up. I feel kind of guilty. We'll do our best for me not to take too long so we can get to a lot of messages, but I always feel guilty when I come in like I'm taking over someone's spot or something. I don't know. But it's because I'm the favorite. So I just wanted to, let's just get that straight right now. So when the other sisters come and they say they're the favorite, you can just look and say, just do that, but don't let them see you doing that. Well, hi. I wrote that song about 20 years ago, and I wrote a lot of other songs too, but I just want you to know that I don't know who picked the songs out tonight, but the song, Here I Am, Lord, It Is I, Lord, and I've Heard You Calling in the Night, always makes me cry. Because that is, I think that's one of the most important songs, that as we live our lives, to really know God and to love God, we really need and want, I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional, but to want to be used. And so I wrote that song, God Use Me, with another writer in Nashville. And it was, I recorded it and somebody else recorded it, because it is really, truly the message of my life. It really is. And I'm not saying I'm good at it. And I'm not saying I do it all the time. But I am telling you, because I asked God to use me, my life is like a mystery all the time. And it is darn near magical sometimes. And sometimes I don't have any idea what's going on, and I have no clue what I'm doing. I get myself into all kinds of fixes, and I somehow just get out of them. I don't know how that happens, but I meet people that I don't know, and God uses me to touch them, and just the way he uses you. And you might not know it, but I promise you with all my heart, a single smile, the smallest touch, can change someone's life. And I have been used for that so many times. I'm going to give you just a tiny little example, and then I'm going to talk to you about something else. I was on vacation a long time ago with some girlfriends, some crazy women, like crazy women. And we went to Chico's or one of those dress shops. You know, sorry, I have to do this. I want to be able to hear me, so I have to do, I feel like I'm driving, but I have to do, and so we were standing in Chino's, and there was this tall, really tall woman, like 6'2", and she was very heavy, and she had a beautiful face, and she looked at me, and I went, hi, and she was like, and I thought, okay, well, I don't know if that's what you wanted me to say, Lord, but I'm starting there. I'll start with hi and see how it goes. And because she was not happy for me to talk to her. And I said, I love what you're wearing. And she was like, and she's paying. And you know, I'm very persistent. Some people call me annoying. next thing I said, I looked at her and I felt this voice in my head say, look how beautiful she is. And I said, oh my gosh, you are absolutely beautiful. And she went, and she started crying. And she said, why are you saying that to me? And I said, because you're gorgeous. And she said, I used to be a model. And I gained all this weight because my husband left me a few years ago. And I've been devastated, and he won't help me, and he won't give me any. I've just been so devastated, and I feel so ugly. And I said, no, you're absolutely gorgeous. And that same woman who wouldn't even look me in the eye 10 seconds before hugged me and let me hug her and leaned on me and touched my hand and said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's the tiniest little thing, but I think of that woman all the time and pray for her, and still makes me cry how broken and how unattractive she felt. And just my taking that extra minute to be persistent. And it's not in an annoying way. It was really genuine. People think I'm drunk a lot. They do. And I mean, I used to go, people would say, are you a drunk woman? And I say, no, I'm actually this happy. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It really is. How could, who is, why, what's wrong with me? I don't know. I know. But if you just do that and step over that edge and step over the edge, and I mean, you can touch people. They will let you. They will let you touch them. They will let you touch them if you do it in a really kind way or in an excited, happy way. And my friend, this is my friend. We've been friends since eighth grade. And stand up. Her name is Jan, and she's crazy too, but she's not drunk. But she's crazy too, and she touches people all the time, all the time. And it seems like the smallest thing, and it's getting harder because people are getting more uncomfortable with us touching them. But that doesn't mean you should stop. Now, I usually, just so you know, I usually aim for children, small children, and older people who can't walk fast. However, It gets a little dangerous with the kids these days, but old people still work. It works really good. Honestly, when you're opening a door for an older person, if you just touch them in a really kind of gentle way, they love it. It's a really good, just start there and then work your way down to younger ages. But really, truly, this is really important, and I'm going to tell you this because my talk tonight, and I have to go quick because Mom told me I talked too long. My talk tonight is about, well, I'll just tell you. Do you guys know the first few lines of the 23rd Psalm? Would you say it for me? The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, we all get confused right there. The most important part is the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do any of you actually know what a shepherd does? I mean, like, good. They herd sheep. So, if a shepherd herds sheep, what does that make us? Sheep. Okay? Yes. Now, I want to ask you something. How many of you think that's a compliment? Right?
I don't.
You don't?
It's only a compliment until one of us goes off the side of a hill.
Right. Well, I want to tell you something. Sheep, I have a farm. Some of you may remember, and by the way, I remember I told you I was going to talk to you about land, but I don't have that together for you yet, but I'm going to come back and talk to you about land and how we can help conserve land and how we can make a difference with the earth, and we talked about how you need to stand barefoot on the dirt and the soil and the earth and the grass. So we need to do that, and that's still important, but I just want you to know I'm having a little talk with you tonight about being a sheep. I want you to know that I have the most wonderful sheep on the planet. And so one of my little babies was born with a crippled leg, and I named her Abigail, and my husband brought her to me, and I kept her in the kitchen. Okay, now this is a problem for most people, but okay, so I put diapers on her because, you know, you have to, and I had to bottle feed her, and I named her Abigail, and I said, you know what, God, show me, teach me why this is a compliment that I am your sheep. Because there's a passage in the Bible that says when we get to be in the presence of God, he will separate sheep from goats. And I don't know. I mean, I think about these things. You know, and I really wanted to know. And I never had an answer for that. I couldn't understand. What's the big difference between sheep and goats? Well, living on a farm, I thought, well, this could be a way I could find out. Well, I had this little baby sheep. And I fed her every morning, noon, and night, four times a day. I put her in a little blue bin, you know, the blue bins that you carry all your stuff and store them. Carried in a little blue bin, up to the room at night, feed her in the middle of the night, take her to church in the back of the car, take her out at the mall, walking her all over the grass at the mall, stop in traffic, going, people are going, is that a sheep? That's a sheep. What are you doing with the sheep? You know? And she, tiny little thing. And I have found that we are honestly the most vulnerable, sweet, intelligent, kind animals to be compared to, honestly, the sweetest animals you could ever see. And you want to know what their only defense is? Do you want to know what our only defense is if we're considered sheep? Our only defense is sticking together. Sheep have no teeth they can bite you with. They can't. They don't kick. They don't. They can't. All they do is stomp when they get mad. We're like that, right? Darn it. Ugh. You know, that's like, I mean, that's about it. So if we are God's people, if we want to be used, we have to stick together. Our sheep stick so closely together. And then when they're little, they do this. One of them trips and the other one jumps over it, and they jump over it and they turn their heads all at the same time, and you make a sound, and oh, they all look together, and then you try to herd them into the thing, and they know they tried to help me herd. Liz and Crystal tried to help us herd our sheep in there, and they run all over the place, but they stick together. Cows don't. Horses don't. I can name you, goats don't, ducks don't, my chickens don't. They'll scatter, and sheep will stay together. So the reason that it's a compliment, the reason that when the Bible says, when God says, I am your shepherd, stick with me. My little lamb, her name is Abigail, hobbles along, and her little leg, you know, is broken. She had never did recover. She sticks so close to me that she trips me. She pops off the back of my shoe. I can't turn around without tripping over her. She eats everything, just like people. If you have a piece of paper, she gobbles it. She talks. She'll be eating, and I'll call her name, and she'll look at me. You know? And it's just the way we are to be. When we're walking along with the shepherd, we stick with them, no matter what. No matter what. I go in the garage, that sheep follows me. I go into the kitchen, she tries to follow me. I work with my chickens, I work with my dogs or my cows, and she follows me. So close. She follows so close because she's safe with me. And she trusts me. And she looks me in the eye. And she calls out to me. And when I call her name, she responds to me. That's our shepherd. That's how God is. We need to call out to him. And when we're confused and we don't know the way, we say, okay, where am I? Where am I? And he says, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. There's your people. Here we are. Here we are. Don't ever feel like you're less, because this is truly, honestly, it has been an honor for me to get to know the sweetest, kindest animal that I've ever met, our sheep. But we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable if we're left alone. We're vulnerable to depression. We're vulnerable to think badly about ourselves. We're vulnerable to thoughts that are not good and kind, because we are like sheep. We're sensitive and we're fragile and we're funny and we're fun. And we stick together. We stick together even when we shouldn't. That's why peer pressure is so powerful. And I want you to know that when I look at you, I understand that this book that was written 2,000 years ago, more than 2,000 years ago, was a big compliment. And because we don't understand nature anymore, we don't understand that we are that precious and important, that a shepherd stays with the sheep in the fields, a man or a woman, all night and all day. That shepherd never leaves. That shepherd leads them to water. That shepherd leads them to fresh fields. We are responsible to take those sheep to fresh fields all the time. We protect them. We put up the gates. We are their protectors. And that's how we are supposed to feel. When you believe in God, he will lead you. He will lead you to bless other people. And you know how I know that? Because just before he died, or just when the Lord rose again, which I'm sure that he did, because I believe in life after death. I've seen it many, many times. You know what he said to Peter? Feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Time number two, feed my lambs. Time number three, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. So we are commissioned, we are asked by the creator of the universe to love one another, to feed one another, not food. That too, I mean, that brings people in and that makes us feel good. But love, doggone it. We're supposed to feed each other love endlessly. Endlessly. Absolutely endlessly. And it's not hard when you remember that you are not alone. You are not alone. And I know that we have people we've all lost to the other side, but they are free. No matter how they crossed over, they are free. We are the lambs. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And if we don't love, who's going to do it? The goats don't do it. They are loved, but they eat everything, including the fences and the, you know, the bumpers on your car. Cattle will play and buck and kick each other, and, you know, and they're amazing. They have a whole system that works for them as well. But sheep need us, like we need. We need the spiritual power of love, and we need God, because we are set apart. We are different because we believe that God is love. And if you believe that God is love, then you have to give it away. And I know Mom says it all the time, and I know you know it in your head, but I'm asking you to be bold, to be willing to think that, let people think you're crazy, let them think you're drunk, doesn't matter. If you, as long as you can pass the breathalyzer, no one cares. I want you to be bold. I want you to go out and love somebody that's hard to love. I want you to tell them they're beautiful. Tell them they're beautiful. Doggone it, they're beautiful. They are. It doesn't matter how we look. We're beautiful. The fact that we are walking around it all is a miracle. Every single muscle in your body, every time your heart beats, it has its own rhythm. You are beautiful. You're beautiful. You're absolutely gorgeous. And it doesn't matter what you look like. You are just this amazing little lamb filled with life, jumping and running when you're little. And when you get old, your hair gets scraggy. I mean, when they're older, their hair gets scraggy, and they do like that. And your voice changes, and it's as if they grow just like we do. I can see the reflection of us as people in these living creatures that eat and poop and drink water and laugh and play in their own amazing way. And that's us. So please don't forget how amazing you are. And I know I asked you this before. Some of you might remember that I asked you to look in the mirror every now and then and say, you know what? You are amazing. Just so you know, you got like 100 million miles of veins going through you. You've got like nerves everywhere on you. You've got hair growing out your head and a few other places you wish it wasn't. I just want you to know that you're amazing. You are. Because God made you, and you're the only one like you. Every little lamb is completely different. And you are one heck of a beautiful flock. Thank you.
I think she kind of likes God. Yeah. She's caused me a lot of life adventures. I won't tell you about them. No, she's... You ever have the radio call you in the middle of the night when you got the flu and you're sleeping, and then he goes, Mrs. Landis, yes. And here I am, middle of the night, you know, like middle of the night, maybe 2 in the morning. And Mrs. Landis, I want to talk to you about your daughter. What can you tell me about your daughter that she hasn't told me? Now, here I am with the flu, and I'm on the radio. Wow. I don't
give away. All right, let me demonstrate. Okay, I'm going to have to demonstrate. So he says, Miss Landis, what can you tell me about your daughter? Because I had a record out 100 years ago, and so this is 2 in the morning. We're at the radio station. What can you tell me about? I said, call my mom. That's good, you know. What can you tell me about your daughter?
What?
And I said, Mom, are you okay?
What? My daughter is wonderful.
Great, thank you. That's the truth, though.
That's kind of it. Yeah. But I've got a couple more times that I can tell you about, too. They call me, I don't know why it has to be that I'm sleeping when they have to wake me up to ask me, about my daughter. When you're sleeping and they're going to wake you and ask you about your daughter, what would you say?
What?
Who? Like a daughter? Yes, yes, yes.